comes next. Our speaker today, F.A. Adugba, heads up our discipleship here. And I can tell you this, he is passionate about seeing a generation who not only talk about God, but actually live their life 100% sold out for God. We had a moment where F.A. and Yaz, they were actually just about to go on holiday, and they hadn't been part of the church for very long, and we were wanting to get to know them. And so just before they were about to catch a flight, with two children, they came and met us in the centre of Chelmsford for a coffee. And it was just the best moment because we sat there and we began to share our hearts. And it was like there was this moment of spontaneous combustion where we're both going, oh, wow, we're passionate about that too. Yeah, we're passionate about seeing God's kingdom come here in Chelmsford and across this nation. We're passionate about seeing people rise up and take their place in the kingdom. We're passionate about seeing people be bold and courageous. And we just began to talk. And I know that F.A. has so much burning in his heart that he wants to share with you today. So we receive him as a gift to us. He may be part of this church, but we receive him as a gift because God is blessing us with him. And we know that the word that he's going to bring is a word in season. So will you welcome him? Go for it, buddy.
Well, good morning, church. It's so great to be part of this church this morning and such a wonderful church family. It's awesome to be in the house of the Lord today. So we are going to be talking about Thrive, life in all its fullness. And please bear with us because we may have some technical things as I transition from one presentation to another presentation. But are you all with me for this journey? All right. I think one of the great things we could do as families, why don't we high five one or two people around us and say, welcome to church this morning. Say, it's wonderful to follow Jesus with you today. All right. Hallelujah. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I see a couple fist bumps. I'm seeing some everything great this morning. So, we're going to be talking about Thrive, life in all its fullness. And last week, Nikki Sims brought an incredible message which spoke about the conditions at which we need to be in for us to thrive. And the passage of scripture we looked at was Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Okay. That's a little bit premature, but it's okay. Just ignore that's not, just think that's not there. Ignore that for the minute. All right. Let's go to the word. Okay. It will all come together. It will all come together. Right. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats with so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. So they pulled their nets up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the truth of your word this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you would open hearts and minds, Lord, that you would come and manifest yourselves in people, that they will see that you've come, God, to give us life in all its fullness. Lord, you have come so that we can live life and thrive. We give you glory this morning, and we pray, Lord God, that you would take us to a place, Lord, where we will see something new of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I was going to start with, some of you may know that I was on The Voice earlier on this year. The Voice is a BBC show, a television show. And one of the questions that they ask you when you start is, who are your influences? Like, who do you follow? Who have you got on Facebook? Who have you got in your car right now? Who are you listening to? And what they were trying to do is build a picture of who I am and my persona, how they're going to present me by the influences of the people that I look at and who the people that I follow. So I wanted to play a little game with you just this morning. And I'm going to show you a couple of pictures of some guys who are part of my contestant, who are other contestants on the show. And you could tell me what you think the genre of music that they sing. Yeah? You with me? Okay, first one. Okay, we need to wait for it. You can tell I'm so experienced at this. Yes! Okay. So, guys, what do you think this guy sings? Oh, a little bit more enthusiastic. Rock. Yes, awesome. Next one. Ooh. Sorry? Punk. Punk. Absolutely. That one? Bit pop, bit of R&B. Bingo. Yeah! Amen. It's true, isn't it? It's what we listen to or people we follow, we embody those characteristics. Just by the view of this individual, you were able to see that guy's a rocker, that girl's a punk chick, and this guy has got an amazing hat. He's a country boy. And it got me thinking, if we go to the next slide, about social media. You see, social media now enables us to access lives, people of individuals, people's lives that we can see. We can now follow people and become more like them as we follow them. We have so much access into people's lives. We can go on Twitter, we can follow Facebook. I mean, I am confessing here that I do follow Justin Bieber on Twitter. I am a believer. Come on now, somebody. And I was looking at this, I was thinking, okay, well, what is the fascination with celebrities? Why do we follow these people? And I came across a statement by a researcher called Shira Gable. She said, because people form bonds in their mind with their favorite celebrities, they're able to assimilate the celebrities' characteristics in themselves. That's interesting, right? And they feel better about themselves when they think about that celebrity. So what this is saying, there's something in that individual that I want to identify myself with. And as I look and walk out my life, that's going to manifest in me. I'm not too sure about how much Justin Bieber can impact my life, but I do know a man who lived and who is still alive today who says, come and follow me and I will give you eternal life. Come and follow me because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll lead you to a life of abundance. I will lead you to a place where you have life, not just for this age, but for the age to come. You see, in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. So I have come so that he came so that I, and so that you could have life and life to the full. So he said, follow me. He says, follow me. He says, just follow me. Watch me. Add me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. Get around me. Listen to me. And I was talking through with a friend of mine a couple of weeks back, and I asked him, you know, he spoke on some great stages, and he's been doing some incredible things with his life, and I was just sharing about my ambition or my heart to serve God in a particular way and in a particular fashion. And he just said to me a couple of words. He just said, follow Jesus well.
He just said, follow Jesus well. It sounds really, really simple. So I try to come kind of studying this about what does it mean to follow Jesus? So if Jesus can give me the abundant life, I need to follow him so I too can live that abundant life. He says, follow me, let me be your guide, and I will make you fishers of men. So effectively what that means is I'm going to take you from your natural and I'm going to give you purpose. Purpose that transcends your now, that transcends your future. Purpose that's going to change lives and minds and hearts. And it's going to be not because of you, it's going to be because of me. Follow me. Let me be your guide. Follow Jesus well. Okay, so the first thing I was thinking about following is to fix our eyes upon or to focus on. We can go to the next one. To focus on. You see, my wife always tells me, and it's so true, you cannot focus on two things at one time. It is a physical impossibility. F.A., you can look at something, but you cannot be focused. You cannot give it 100% attention if you are not focused upon it. Thank God for wives. You know, I thank God for mine. But focus means you give it 100% attention. It's that line, it's that direct determination that this is what I'm looking at. This has got my attention and I'm not going to deviate from this path. That's my focus. And you see what focus does, whatever you focus on has the ability to change your perspective. Right? Amen? I mean, if we look at this, whatever you focus on in this picture will enable you to have a perception of what you see. So if you focus on who sees the young lady, by the way? Hands up. Who sees the rather old lady? Hands up. Anyone don't see that? Anyone don't see that? So what you focus on depends on what you see. So if you focus on Jesus, your situation and your circumstance starts to look a bit different. If you look at Jesus and you put him as your focus, the situation you find yourself begins to change because you see it not through your eyes, you see it through his eyes. You see, he says, follow me. You see things in a different lens. You don't see yourself as someone who is underneath the cosh, but you see yourself seated in heavenly places with the one who calls you his son and his daughter. Follow me. Fix your eyes upon me. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. That means it starts with him, the middle's with him, and it ends with him. Fix your eyes. Some of us are focusing on the wrong things. And we're not able to live the abundant life that God is calling us to. Now, I was thinking about this whole process, and it reminds me of the scripture with Peter, when he's on the boat, and Jesus is walking on water. And Peter says, okay, God, if it's you, Jesus, if it's you, just call me to come out, and I'm going to come out. And he says, yeah, come out, come out. And kind of like, I like to dramatize the Bible. Obviously, you could probably tell that. And he's looking, I believe, if it was like, we saw one of those kind of like cliffhanger moments. You know, kind of like in those cliffhanger moments where he's just focused on Jesus and he's walking. And he's walking, he's like, okay, God, I can see you. This is amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm walking on water. This can't be human possible, but I'm doing it. It's Jesus. My situation is changing. Oh my gosh. And then he stops. And then he starts to think, wow, look at that wave. Oh my gosh, there's a shark. Oh my gosh, there's a this, there's a that. And he starts gradually, where he used to be strong, he starts fainting and he starts to sink. Does anybody read the Bible like that, or is it just me? It just must be me. This guy is focused on Jesus and everything seems to be working well. He's doing things that he cannot physically possibly do. Sometimes when we look at Jesus, we're walking with him. We find ourselves in places of blessing. You look at yourself and think, wow, I can't do this. It must be him. But sometimes then we change our focus and then situations and circumstances have the better of us and we start to sink. And we start to sink. What we focus on affects what we see. Amen. So, that's focus. But in order to be led, the word follow denotes movement, right? It's a verb. Nikki, you're a words person. It's a verb. It's a verb or a noun. Double bammy. Bam. Verb or a noun. Wow. Follow denotes movement, right? In order for you to follow something, you can't be still. You've got to be able to move with it. Yeah? And God was really talking to me. He said, actually, there's certain places. Oh. There's certain places. Everyone's really freaking out what's happening next.
That's really funny.
You can't follow unless you're willing to be led. Right? Unless you're going to actually say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow you. You're not following, you're just watching. So God is saying, you need to open your heart and your mind to me. You see, Simon Peter here was like, on the ground of your word, Lord. We've been doing this all night long. But on the ground of your word, you see, there had to be a shift in Simon Peter's mindset. He had to open his heart and his mind to receive what the Lord was saying to him. How do we follow him? Well, we have to open our hearts and our minds to receive him. You know, the Bible talks about having the mind of Christ. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure everything out on your own. Hello? Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Don't assume. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We have to be open to see what God is going to do to us. So firstly, we have to focus on him. Next thing, we have to open our hearts to him and allow us to lead us. So, you know, on journeys, there's certain things you could take with you and there's certain things you've got to leave behind. You can't take everything with you. Have you ever had that question? People say, oh, if you're on a desert island and you only had like three things to take, what would you take? I said, I'd take my iPad. Maybe I'd take my wife first, maybe. It's going to be a quick toss-up between those two, but maybe. I might leave one of the kids. I won't tell you which one. Oh, gosh. Forgive me. But the journey of abundant life is a journey. It is a journey to the abundant life. And some things we can't take with us. I'm going to put some notes up at the end of this. But there are some scriptures where Jesus says to a couple of guys, hey, come and follow me. Come and follow me. And the response is, oh, yeah, I'd love to follow you, God. But, you know, can I just say goodbye to my mom and dad first? Come and follow me. Come and follow me. I'm going to come and follow you, Lord. But, you know, can I just wait for my dad to die? There was another poor guy. I really felt so sorry for this guy. He was really willing to join Jesus. He was like, okay, cool. I'm with you. Let's go. It was like Charlotte Parker this morning. She was like, cool. Woo, let's go. He was ready. He was ready to follow Jesus. And Jesus had a look at him and said, oh, he had a bit of compassion over him. And he said, you need to go and sell all you have, and then you can follow me. And the guy went away sad. Some journeys, you can't take everything with you. See, salvation is free, but the abundant life will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. In verse 11 of our text, they said, they forsook all. They left everything to follow Jesus. They left everything. Maybe God's asking us this morning, what have we got to leave behind so we can follow him and live the abundant life he's called us to. Maybe it's that relationship. Maybe it's that offense or that attitude or that mindset. Because where I'm going, where I'm taking you, you can't bring that along. It can't fit in the life I have for you. Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if anyone wills to come after me, let him deny himself. That means disown himself. That means forget, lose sight of himself, his own interests, refuse and give himself up. And take up his cross daily. Okay. And follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living and if need be, dying also. For whoever preserves his life will save it. Would preserve his life and save it, would lose and destroy it. Thank you, Amplified. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he will preserve and save it. In Matthew chapter 10, 20, 38, it says, whoever finds his lower life will lose it, and the higher life will lose it, the higher life. And whoever loses his lower life on my account will find it. What's God asking you to leave behind today? You see, it doesn't take away from our free will. We have a choice. But what it does say is the response to God that we relinquish our ownership of this God. You take the reins. I don't know it all. I've got to be open. I can't take this thing with us. So that's leave. It's one of my favorite ones. So one of the real impacting ways where people learn is by observation and imitation. Now, I don't know if there's any parents in the house or teachers, but I know for me, my son will say something, I'm like, ooh, where'd he get that one from? They imitate you, don't they, from such a small age. And I remember when Pete and Nikki first had Ari, and he'd tell me, oh, Aria's blowing raspberries, look at this. He'd be like, and she's like, and it was amazing. But it's that power of imitation. And, you know, Jewish discipleship, how it was constructed, that at the age of 5, a Jewish boy was given the Torah. And by the time they were 12, they'd be able to recite the first 5 books of the Torah. So after that, you know, they would then have the ability to, or the option to go into craftsmanship. So some would become pilots, you know, like Chris, or some would work for Facebook, or some would start Google or whatever. But others who had a bit more of an understanding of the scriptures would become what disciples of a rabbi. And their way of discipling was, because they didn't have like written text, they would go to their houses and they would effectively live with the rabbis. They would be involved in their affairs, their family life, how they conducted, and they would literally sit down and memorize word for word the Bible, the disciples' teaching. You see, the aim of the disciple was to be the complete reflection of the master. And it's interesting, actually, because he says, you know, come and be my disciples. But in John 14:12, it says, very, very, verily, verily, I tell unto you, whoever believes in me will do works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things, because I'm going to the Father. Greater things than Jesus. Me. You. How does that work? How does that work? How do we do greater things than him? How do we become his disciples? We've got to learn from him. We've got to watch him. We've got to be where he's at. We've got to want to be with him. And in Psalm 1, it talks about, oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners scoffing at the things of God, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to do day and night. They're always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him. They are like trees along a riverbank bearing luscious fruit, each season without fail. Their leaves shall never wither, and all they do shall prosper. Now that sounds like thriving. Anybody, does that sound like thriving? Does that sound like the abundant life that God has for you? So where does it start? It starts at the feet of Jesus, learning to be more like him. In our mindsets, in our thought patterns, in our processes, Jesus, I want to be more like you. And where does that start from? The discipline of going into his word. The discipline of spending time with him and allowing him to change us to look more like him. So in our text, Simon Peter, after Jesus tells him to go a little bit further, Simon Peter says, Master. And that's a great word, isn't it? I mean, it just shows of such relationship. He says, Master, we've been doing this all night long. But if you say so, I'm going to do it. And again, you know, I'm so grateful for my wife because there is a difference between saying something and doing it. F, you told me you were going to put the bins out. Yeah, sorry about that. We've got a great marriage, I tell you. We really do. Babe, you told me you're going to do your expenses this month. They haven't come in yet. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. There is a difference between saying something and doing it. There is a difference. Because he said, go a little further. Put your net out. And he could have said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. The question is, how many times have we said, yes, Lord, I'll do it? I'll do it, Lord. You've actually got to put your net down. You've got to put your net down. And that act of obedience is what God is looking for. He is looking for a people who would obey his word because his plans for you are to prosper you and not to harm you. You see what it was when he took that step of obedience, that's when his miracle happened. I know I've been doing this all night, but because you say so, I'm going to do it. And he caught so much fish, he had to call his brother, his cousin, his everybody. He said, I need another boat. He caught so much. The abundant life, it was so apparent. But he had to obey. You see, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. It's only when we activate our faith when things come into fruition. So I want to encourage somebody today. If God's been saying something over your life and you've been putting it off, or you're just worried or you're scared about how it's going to pan out, God says, just do it. Just do it. I'm in this with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Just do it. I'm here with you. I'm here. You've got to follow me. So when they had done so, verse 6 says, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Just do it. Is this okay, guys? Really quiet. Amen. So when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, God, wow, this is incredible. I'm a sinful man. You see, at that moment, he put Jesus in his rightful place. And he bowed the knee and he worshipped. So, guys, just so you know, I do a weekly thing called Skylark Air. It's really great. We have some really great time, great team of people that help me do that. And it's a synopsis of the word. And this week, just a selfish little plug there. This week, we spoke about what happened when we opened our hearts to worship. You see, we read in Luke chapter 5, or just a few verses before, that before the miracle actually encountered, Jesus went to spend time with the Father before daybreak in worship. And that's quite interesting because Simon Peter says, you know, we've been working all night. So that means at the same time, there were two different activities that were taking place. Jesus was modeling that we need to go to the Father and spend time with him in worship. And Simon Peter was modeling some of the things that we normally do in order to get a result, which was to work harder, to strive, to strive more for it. The same night, two totally different outcomes. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would choose worship all day long. I would choose to be in the presence of the Almighty God so that he can open his arms and embrace me. I would rather be in the presence of Jesus, and I would rather spend the time that I would striving in his presence. Because just one moment with Jesus transformed all of these guys' lives. So it's interesting. Where is Jesus in your life? Have we placed him at the place of worship? Is he at the center? Or are we trying to do a lot of the things in our own strength? You see, worship unlocks the kingdom of heaven in a way that you cannot describe it. You cannot put it into human words. When we connect with the Father in relationship with him, he wants to bless you. He loves you. We heard it this morning. He loves us. He loves you. So spend time with him. Stop striving. Start thriving. I know what one I'd rather do. And that starts in his presence. Amen. So, here we are. What does it look like to follow Jesus? Well, first we need to fix our eyes upon him. We need to focus on him. Then we need to open our hearts to him, open our minds to him. And then we need to leave some of the things behind. Some of the things we want to hold on to, we've got to let go of them. Because where he's taken us, we can't take that with us. And then we've got to learn from him. Then I've got to sit with him. I've got to have a relationship with him. And then I've got to obey him. Because when I obey him, the kingdom of heaven comes. And the abundant life that I'm looking for is tangible. And to top it all off, we've got to worship him. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. Follow Jesus well, and you will live the abundant life. So, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up for a sec. And it's been such a privilege to share this message with you this morning. But I also understand that there are so many different categories of people that are here listening to the sound of my voice today. And some of you may not know who Jesus is. And you know, there's a scripture that talks about he stands at the heart and he knocks, and anyone who opens their heart to him, he'll come and dine with them, because he came so that we could have life and we could enjoy life and have it to the abundance. And there's others actually who have lived the abundant life or who are walking with Jesus, but they're not actually living the abundant life. Or it doesn't feel abundant right now. It doesn't feel like I'm following him well. Well, I'm not seeing the blessing, I'm not seeing the fruit of it, so am I following him well? I don't know. And God just reminded me of John chapter 21, where Jesus has been resurrected Jesus had died, and the disciples were really discouraged, you know. Peter went back to fishing. He was like, oh, my hope has gone. I put my trust in this God, and now he's dead. So he went back to fish. You know, some of us, when things don't go the right way, we go back to what we know, right? But you know what's so cool about that? Jesus used the same miracle, exactly the same miracle, exactly the same to call him back. How cool is that? How cool is that? He used exactly the same miracle to call him back. And I don't know where you guys are at today. Maybe some of you are not feeling the abundant life that you are meant to be walking in. But Jesus is calling you back today. He's saying, you can follow me, and you can follow me well, because I have a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Follow me. So I'd love for us to just stand this morning, and wherever you are, whether you're on the mountaintop or you're in the valley, let's follow him well. He's calling you this morning. If you don't know him, it's a great life, guys. It's a great life. It's a life of purpose. It's a life of identity. It's a life of security. It's a life of blessing. It's a life that you don't just see what you see today, but about tomorrow. It's a life that touches eternity. And he's calling you out this morning. He can say it's free. All you have to do is just accept him this morning. And for those of us who are following Jesus, let's follow him well. Let's follow him well. Let's follow him well this morning. Let's follow him well. Let's focus on him. Let's open our hearts to him. Let's leave those things behind. Let's lean on him. Let's obey him. Let's worship him this morning.
No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning.
Come on, sing it out.
Back.
I have decided. Come on, sing it out.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Come on.
No turning back.
Follow him well this morning. Come on.
No turning back.
Open your heart to him today.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
See the cross,
the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning. Christ is enough for me. Christ Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back.
So God, we hear you calling us to follow you. And we make a decision in our hearts today, God, that even though it may cost us, we make that decision to follow you wherever you may lead, to go wherever you go, to sit at your feet and learn from you, to worship you in and out of season. Just like to invite the prayer team forward. If you'd like prayer today for anything that's come up, or even for something, if you have a physical need, or if you're in need of a job, or if you just want someone to stand with you this morning and agree over an area of your life in prayer, we have a wonderful prayer team who would love to get alongside you today. Also, FA mentioned, if you haven't yet stepped into the kingdom, maybe you've been hearing about this life in all its fullness and you're just thinking, you know what, there's more, and I feel like there's something I'm missing, then we would love to chat to you today, and we'd love to lead you to Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful God that we've been talking about this morning. So if that's you, just come and find myself or FA or Pete or one of the leadership team, or chat to the person next to you and they'll be able to tell you more about this wonderful Jesus that we're worshiping today. Tea and coffee are served. We're going to finish there. FA, thanks for an amazing word, and have a great week, church.